Jesus had been crucified, and the disciples were terrified. They were hiding in an upper room, and they had locked the door. They had heard stories from the women that Jesus had risen, but they didn't know what to make of that. And most of all, they were just afraid that they were going to die themselves. So they locked the door. And Jesus appears in the room without unlocking the door. And he says these words, "Peace be with you." And then he shows them wounds in his hands and in his side. And then he does this strange thing. He breathes on them. And then he says that same phrase again. He repeats it. "Peace be with you." Now, Thomas wasn't there, and Thomas wouldn't buy any of it. So exactly 1 week later, on the first day of the week, and notice, for centuries and centuries, what day of the week do Christians worship on? The first day of the week, because that's when the resurrected Christ appeared to us, on the first day of the week. So 1 week later, on the first day of the week, Jesus appears again, and for the third time, he says this phrase, "Peace be with you." And then he lets Thomas touch his wounds. Now, Jesus' name is thrown around a lot. So I want you to be very careful as followers of Jesus to stay very close to the texts of the Gospels, to pay close attention to what Jesus actually says and does. Don't let anybody else tell you. Go and read the Gospels. And if Jesus says something three times, you better believe it was important. So Jesus says this phrase when he appears in the resurrected form, "Peace be with you." And we say those same words right in the middle of our worship service every Sunday. The celebrant will walk out and say, and you're supposed to greet one another with the words, right. Jesus returned not only to show us that there was life beyond this life, but to bring us peace and to show us how to cultivate peace, because peace needs to be cultivated. I have a good friend who many years ago, she moved from Florida up to Connecticut, and she had a little girl who was about 4 at the time, and she had heard, through a tough winter, she had heard that in Connecticut, in the spring, the daffodil bulbs come up first, and she wanted to have flowers. They had a little field outside of her house, so she took her little girl to the flower shop, the garden place, you know, with all the plants, and she asked the man who worked there about bulbs, daffodil bulbs. And he said, if you want to plant daffodil bulbs and have them look wild, stand in the field and just throw them behind your shoulder, like this. And then wherever they land, you can plant them. So she said, okay. So she and her daughter bought 100 daffodil bowls, and her daughter had the best time. They would throw them over the back of their shoulder and throw them over and walk around the field and throw them over the back of their shoulder, throw them over the back of their shoulder. And then they turned around and realized something. They couldn't find them. And none of the bulbs came up in the spring. Why? Because the soil wasn't cultivated. No one had dug a hole, put the bulb in it, and put the soil over it to keep it warm. If we want peace, we need to learn how to cultivate the right environment for peace so that it grows. And I want to show you how this gospel text, it's so miraculous, because Jesus came not only to say, "Peace be with you," but in the very story itself, he shows us how to cultivate peace in three different ways. First of all, it's very important that Jesus only appears in the resurrected form to people who loved him. He doesn't appear to Pontius Pilate, does he? He doesn't appear to Herod Antipas. He appears to Mary Magdalene. He appears to the disciples. He appears to Peter. Because if you want to cultivate peace, and if you want to welcome the resurrected Christ, you must begin by learning how to love Jesus. It's love that begins to cultivate the soil of your heart for peace. It's the love of God and of yourself and of others. So practice loving Jesus. Again, the Jesus that you read about in the Gospels. Learning to love him by worshiping and serving and being generous. Jesus only came to those who already loved him because they had the space to welcome him. They could see him because of that love. Jesus also breathes on them. And breathing is so important for peace. I met and did a podcast with a woman who's a physical therapist and Pilates teacher this past week. And one of the things she said is, if you're feeling stressed or overwhelmed, you fundamentally must return to your breath. We have to breathe if we want to experience peace, if we want to learn to calm our minds. In fact, the word Yahweh in the Hebrew scriptures is supposed to be your breath. So we're saying God's name when we breathe. We need to breathe slowly and intentionally. Jesus breathed on them. Remember how to breathe. No matter how scared you are, return to your breath. So love Jesus, breathe. And probably the most important way to cultivate peace is Jesus comes and he doesn't show them his muscles. You'd think he'd go, "Look how strong and healthy I am, aren't I handsome?" He doesn't do any of that. He shows them where he's hurt. Now think about this with me for a minute. Jesus was God. He resurrected from the dead. Don't you think he could have patched these up? Those wounds were left there for a reason. That was important. It was intentional. Because it's through our wounds that we can connect with one another and find peace. If you tell one another, "Oh, where you went to school and what a great job you have and I don't know what great grades you had or how your kids are awesome," that doesn't connect you to people. Just gets you competitive. It's like those little stick figures they have on the car, you know, my kid is an honor student or whatever. I'd had one guy that I saw who said, my kid beat up your honor student. Because if we just try to tell each other how impressive we are, we don't learn to love each other. That's not how we connect. How we connect is when we share our wounds with one another. That's when Christ shows up. We're so divided in this country, we can't talk to one another. I have a good friend who's been diagnosed with a serious kind of cancer. She told me that her neighbor down the street, they would always say hello to each other when they went out for their walks, and he was a nice guy, but she put a sign in her yard. She's a Democrat. Her neighbor's a Republican. Once he found out that she was a Democrat, he stopped talking to her. He said, I can't believe you think that stuff. So she'd say, hi, Phil, on the walk, and he'd say, and they couldn't even speak until he found out that she was diagnosed with cancer. And then she was out on her walk, and he ran up to her and hugged her. And he had tears in his eyes. He said, I'm so sorry about your diagnosis. My sister died of cancer. If there's anything I can do. And she realized all of that, the political differences, they all washed away because they were connecting because she was hurt. And he knew what that pain felt like. So if you want to establish peace or connection with another person, show them your wounds. Don't show them your muscles. Because that's how we begin to form a relationship of trust that can cultivate peace. My friends, this world, we need to practice cultivating peace. We need to understand that it's not a feeling that we can throw over our shoulders and let it happen. It's something you work on. It's an environment that you cultivate and create. There's a school of art in Savannah, and they had a competition among student artists. They asked them, paint a picture of what peace looks like to you. So the students all painted, and there were beautiful sunsets and mountains and all kinds of things, stars in the sky. But the painting that won the competition, I found, was fascinating. It was a painting of a really loud and noisy-looking waterfall and a rushing river and a little tree that stood on the shore of the river with a branch reaching out over the rushing water, and on the branch there was this little nest. And in the nest, there was a mother bird feeding her babies. The peace of God, the peace that passes all understanding, has nothing to do with your circumstances. The busy world can be rushing down, it can be rushing by you, it can be all around you, but you can still cultivate peace within yourself, with the people with whom you are the most intimate. You can cultivate a kind of peace that will appear even in the midst of death, oppression, violence, and war. There was a Roman Catholic priest in a concentration camp in Germany. He found out a man was to be executed who had a family, and this Roman Catholic priest said, I will go for you. I will die for you. You have a family. I can do this. And he went and allowed himself to be killed. And all through the process, he seemed so joyful, so peaceful, when the worst thing in the world was happening to him. But he had cultivated peace in his heart. And he was saying the name of Jesus as he died. Blessed are you who can find that peace that passes all understanding. The peace of the risen Christ. Amen.